Thank you, Lori. Good morning. It's my pleasure to address this esteemed group, and well, that's what my paper says. I hope you're an esteemed group. So, regarding U.S. cotton sustainability and the efforts of the U.S. industry to meet the sustainability needs of the global apparel industry. I first heard the term attached to agriculture in the early 2000s. The idea of sustainability has been around for a long time, and it's growing in importance to our supply chain customers, not just in cotton production, but in all of agriculture. It's not a fad. It's not going away. It's very important that the U.S. cotton industry embraces the challenge of proving sustainability. As an officer in the last few years of Cotton Council International, I've had the opportunity to travel to different countries in Asia and Turkey, where the textile industry has migrated to over the years. I've been to Asia four times since April of last year, and at each stop it was presented to us that the apparel industry needs the U.S. to develop a sustainability protocol because the brands and retailers at the top of the supply chain are asking for it. They're demanding it, actually. The first part of my presentation is a brief summary of what we as an industry are presenting to our customers. And then I'll discuss the work of the Sustainability Task Force. The objective of U.S. cotton is to be the supplier of choice for mills, manufacturers, brands, and retailers who are committed to buying sustainable and responsible fiber. We choose to make a difference and drive change to make the world a better place for future generations. A good place to... Sustainability, the definition of sustainability is very important to understand. Defining it depends on, it's subjective depending on who's interpreting it, but the most accepted definition, and the one we're working with today, is it's the ability to meet the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. Here's where we are today. We believe that the United States produces the most sustainable cotton because, like myself, our farmers live on the land and it's in our best interest to preserve it. We have the benefit of committed researchers and scientists like many of the attendees here at the Beltwide Conference who've dedicated their careers to helping U.S. farmers ensure profitability. Sustainability and profitability are indelibly linked in the United States, and they recognize this fact. We produce a bulk commodity. From year to year or even day to day, we don't have much control over the price we receive for the cotton. Our gross incomes can vary greatly on an annual basis, but the one financial constant we have is that our input costs are always trending higher. Controlling these costs is the key to why we are sustainable. The more efficient we are with our resources, the better chance we have to be profitable. Our farmers adopt new technologies in order to be as efficient as we can be with our inputs and natural resources. We also abide by a stringent regulatory system, and the United States has the most comprehensive system for monitoring and measuring or measurement of key sustainability metrics. We work with Field of Market. We've been an active member of Field of Market Sustainability Alliance since its inception in 2007. We're joined by a diverse coalition of organizations with a goal of uniting the supply chain to deliver sustainable outcomes for agriculture. The Field of Market Alliance for Sustainable Ag Production has been widely accepted and supported by many major ag-based companies in our country. We'll hear more about Field of Market this morning from Lexi Clark. Also, Rachel Lee, a joint staff member of both NRCS and the U.S. cotton industry, is here with us today to discuss her efforts in recruiting and working with Louisiana's farmers in adopting the Field Print Calculator platform, which is the Field of Market industry's tool for measuring sustainability. She and her husband, Kellen, will also discuss their personal experiences with the platform on their own cotton farm in northeast Louisiana. Based on publicly available data from U.S. government agencies, Field of Market calculated significant reductions in land use, soil loss, energy use, and greenhouse gas emissions while improving our water use efficiency. I've been presenting this slide for several years now, and the fact that it goes back 35 years is very significant. I came back to our family farm about 35 years ago. Some of you will remember 1982 and 83 as the abrupt end of a tremendous boom cycle for U.S. agriculture and an immediate beginning of a deep depression that lasted for many years. I remember it well and have managed to survive, while many farmers who I thought were better producers did not. Those of us who survived that period embraced efficient use of resources. Also in 1985, the USDA introduced the first of many of today's most popular conservation programs. The Conservation Reserve Program started in 1985. The USDA, in partnership with U.S. farmers, has invested well over $100 billion in making our farms far more environmentally sustainable. U.S. cotton farmers were practicing sustainability long before the term sustainability became attached to this group of practices. Now, where we are going, the U.S. industry is not resting on our past success. We're very pleased that many global brands recognize U.S. cotton as sustainable or responsibly produced. The Cotton Leads Program, which is a sustainability communications platform, was initiated in 2014 by the U.S. and Australian cotton industries to highlight the sustainability and quality of U.S. and Australian cottons. It's expanded quickly and now has over 500 members of the textile and apparel industry who've signed on and recognize cotton from our two countries as meeting their current sustainability needs. However, we understand that not all brands and retailers have reached this point. They want a more formal system for their supply chain to engage in. Some of the needs expressed by the brands include having a method for their supply chain to track quantities of more sustainable cotton, ensuring that U.S. cotton producers are following best management practices and laws and regulations in our country, a way in which brands can positively influence agricultural practices to improve the environment in rural communities. Some of them are already actively engaged in doing that, and the need for a program that doesn't introduce large costs into the supply chain. They also want a program that includes multiple layers of verification, including third-party verification that a cotton producer is actually producing cotton in a responsible way. To strengthen our sustainability message, the National Cotton Council, which is the parent organization of Cotton Council International, formed a sustainability task force in 2017. I've had the pleasure to serve as chairman of that task force. Membership consists of representatives from all seven segments of the U.S. industry, ranging from cotton producers through the distribution chain to the U.S. textile mill. The producers on the task force are from all different growing regions of the United States Cotton Belt and includes Louisiana's own Jay Hardwick, who was just named the Field of Market Farmer of the Year for 2018. Our task force is made up of members who practice what they preach. Other industry organizations, such as the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated, are participating in the work of the task force. We also have the benefit of several advisors who have experience in other sustainability programs. We've had several meetings and conference calls since April of 2017. Our meetings have been very well attended, and we've heard from brands and retailers, directors of other sustainability programs, NRCS officials, IT providers, and other experts in the field. To date, our two main areas of emphasis have been the establishment of national goals for improvements in key environmental metrics and the development of a program or protocol that's focused on farm-level activities. Cotton Incorporated's Jesse Daystar will discuss the national goals established by the task force, and Gary Adams, the National Cotton Council President, will discuss in further detail how the protocol will actually work. I would stress that the development of the protocol is ongoing, with some details yet to be decided. We're actively seeking feedback from the textile supply chain as well as environmental functional groups regarding the key components and structure of the protocol. Without broad acceptance by brands and retailers and NGOs, our protocol will have no credibility. Also, without acceptance from and participation by U.S. cotton producers in enrolling their cotton acres in the protocol in sufficient quantity to bring relevance to the program, we won't succeed either. Our goal from day one has been to meet both the needs of the apparel supply chain and to develop a plan that doesn't create a new large burden for the already burdened cotton producer. We've made good progress so far and feel like we're on the right track to succeed in our efforts. I'm going to turn it over to Jesse and Gary in a minute, but I was asked at our first task force meeting in April of 2017 to discuss a trip that I'd made to Hong Kong to the sourcing summit a couple of weeks before and discuss what I'd heard about sustainability there. And one of the most interesting conversations I had was not actually at the conference, but it was on the way back on my last leg of the flight home from Chicago to Little Rock. I sat next to a very professionally dressed young lady, and it turns out that's exactly what she was. She was very professional, very well educated. And we struck up a conversation, and when she found out I was a cotton producer, she just blurts out, "Isn't cotton the most?" And she stopped. And I said, "You were going to say the world's dirtiest crop." And she said, "Yes, I was." So I assured her that that was not the case. And then she started talking about cottonseed and how it was a trash product and had lots of pesticides in it and wasn't approved by USDA. And I spend a lot of time researching what our opponents say on the Internet, probably too much, and they all were saying that about cottonseed at the time. So I went home. I made it a point to go look it up. I did a Google search, which is a research that environmentalists and activists use, and I found a definition of cottonseed. And sure enough, it was in Wikipedia. It said, cottonseed prior to 1835 was a trash byproduct of cotton fiber production. In 1835, European countries had grown to the point where they were running out of cooking oil. So cotton entrepreneurs in our country in 1835 looked at these massive piles of cottonseed and decided maybe we could meet that need, and we did. Then in 1859, they ran out of their the fuel that they used to power their lamps with, which was whale oil. And again, cotton entrepreneurs stepped up and addressed that need, figured out how to make that work, and so they did. So it dawns on me, you know, an environmentalist reads cottonseed was a trash byproduct of cotton production, and they go no further. That's all they needed to hear. I read in 1835 that the United States cotton industry probably committed the first act of sustainability by producing more without using more resources, and then in 1859, we were saving the whale. Now, how do you get any more environmentally conscious than saving a whale? I doubt any other commodity saved a whale. We ought to be on Greenpeace's Hall of Fame or something like that. But anyway, and the point of the story is we have a good story to tell in our industry, and we just need to tell it, and that's what sustainability is about. So I'm going to turn it over to Jesse now. Thank you.